We're going to be in Colossians again, chapter 1. Excuse me. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 9 today, verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 9. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Just briefly, we took a look last week at kind of the introduction to the chapter, got a little feel for who Paul was speaking to. And again, remember, this church, if you will, I almost hate to use this term, is a mixed church, right? Okay, you had Gentiles and Jews sitting together. And again, that would be a really huge statement to the community outside of them just because they were together. And so we want to be that kind of church, that people who don't normally sit together come together at Cross Life because of the love we have for Christ. And so let's make sure we pursue that. We saw last week, too, in a really big way, how the gospel and then the truth of eternity drives hope within us, which actually pushes us to grow in our faith and our love. That's just how it works. So the more we stay focused on the truth of who God is and what really is important, the greater our love will be, the greater our faith will be. So what we need to do in our lives is figure out how can we keep the truth of eternity in the forefront. Because every one of us is thinking about lunch and bills and who's if my team's in the tournament today. And right, that's what I'm thinking about, right? Those kind of things. So what we need to make sure is that through the week, we're able to keep our mind on eternal things as well as those other things so we can keep our perspective. Today, just again, two simple truths. We're going to look at this idea of being rescued is one of our blessings. And we're going to look at this idea of request. So let's start together in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. The Word of God says this, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." Verse 12, "giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Amen, amen. I'm going to give you an illustration here about being rescued, and some of you probably have maybe stories similar, but this is pretty good. A wealthy English family once invited friends to spend some time at their beautiful estate. Well, the happy gathering was plunged almost into a terrible tragedy on the first day. When the children went swimming, one of them got into deep water and was drowning. Fortunately, the gardener heard the others screaming and plunged into the pool to rescue the helpless victim. The youngster was none other than Winston Churchill. His parents, deeply grateful to the gardener, asked what they could do to reward him. He hesitated, and then he said, "Well, I wish my son could go to college someday and become a doctor." "We'll pay his way," replied Churchill's parents. Years later, when Sir Winston was Prime Minister of England, he was stricken with pneumonia. Greatly concerned, the king summoned the best physician who could be found to the bedside of the ailing leader. The doctor was Sir Alexander Fleming, the developer of penicillin. He was also the son of the gardener who had saved Winston from drowning as a boy. Later, Churchill said, "Rarely has one man owed his life twice to the same person." That's pretty crazy, isn't it? Right? But you get the idea of being rescued. And you get the idea even, I don't know if you've seen much of Winston Churchill, if you like these kind of things, my wife loves the royals and all that kind of stuff. You watch The Queen on Netflix or whatever, you can get a picture. Winston Churchill is a very strong and a proud type of person, but for him to say that he had been delivered and he had been rescued was quite a bit. There's a lot of gratitude in his heart because he recognizes what was done for him. Today, when we get done today, one of the things I hope that you have is a heart of gratitude for how much that you're loved and how great of depths the Lord went to rescue you. So the first thing I want you to see this morning is that there are some big requests that Paul makes of the Lord. And I want you to make these same requests for your brothers and sisters in Christ. So again, look at verse 9. Paul continuing this idea of praying for the Colossian church. He says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." Have you ever had anybody just tell you they're praying for you? Man, like when it comes out of the blue, it's like one of the best things that ever happened. It's like, oh, I think I can make it today, right? And so first, let me encourage you to pray for one another. And in just a minute, we're going to get very specific about how you can pray for one another. But then let me say this. If you are praying for one another, every now and then, let the other person know, hey, I'm praying for you. And that's what Paul does right here, right? Again, Paul did not found the church at Colossus. He was at Ephesus. Epaphras came over from Colossus, heard the gospel, took the gospel back to Colossus, and got things going over there. Paul says, but since we have heard about what you guys are doing, remember last week, we have heard about your faith, we have heard about your love, we have heard about the hope that springs up in you that's causing the faith and love to grow out. When we heard about your, we have not stopped praying for you. You're doing great things for God. By the way, we need to be taking on that same burden for others, right? Again, this morning, I'm sure Brother Tyler, as he always does, will remind us the persecuted church. I have a little app on my phone. I just pull up a bookmark every morning. It gives me the top 50 countries, and I pick a country every day, and I read a little bit about that country and what's going on there. And I'm reminded that we're not alone and that we have family that in some places are struggling in a lot different ways than we are. We need to pray for them, right? And in a sense, we need to not stop praying for them. Paul says, we have not stopped praying for you. So we need to develop a heart for one another, even as we see Paul has a heart for the Colossians. And so here's what he says. Notice this at the end of verse 9 and verse 10 as well. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will and to do this through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. This is really, really important today. Paul is asking for godly knowledge that comes from the Holy Spirit. He wants them to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. This is so huge. Have you ever had a big decision weighing on your heart and you weren't really sure what to do? Everybody in here probably, right? I know some of you are still wondering today, why in the world did I marry that person? And here you're just stuck, right? Okay? Today, we've all been to those places where it's like, oh, man, what do I do? Maybe it's a job situation, right? I got to have some money, but I'm not sure if this is the right one. And it can be relationship things. Sometimes it's very simple things. Should I purchase this thing or this product? Because I'm not sure if this is what I really need. Sometimes it can be about even about witnessing, right? Is this the time that I actually go in and dive in with the truth of the gospel? Or is this the time that I just say, hey, I'm praying for you and those kind of things, right? We have those battles. And here's what we need to be praying for one another. As we are Spirit-filled, then we can, as Paul says in Galatians, we can keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, when the Spirit says, today you're going to take a right, you take a right. And today you're going to take a left, you take a left. And that's because you are becoming who you're supposed to be in the Lord. Let's see if I can kind of describe this a little bit by, this is probably a stretch, but by being a pin. Do you guys know that I'm full-blooded pin? I have some Malone in me, but it doesn't seem to be able to even keep up with the pin in me. All right, pin is known for stubbornness. I'll just give you a simple example. Fourth grade, and hey, I was a pretty good kid. You know, like to keep my grades pretty good. My handwriting was horrible. Everything else, pretty much A's, okay? Mrs. Taylor's class, she has an assignment for us. Here's the assignment. I want you to write directions to get out of the classroom. You're going to go across the playground, the upper playground. You're going to cross this huge ravine, and you'll go to the other playground. You got to get directions from our classroom to the playground that's out in the big yard. And so I went to Baum Elementary School. Well, past the second playground, probably about 1,000 yards past it, was a big wooded fence line. And past that even was a church, and then finally the one of the main roads, okay? So the guy who wrote my directions, He basically said, you're going to go out the room, you're going to go out this door, and then you just keep walking and you don't stop. Pin. You know what Pin did? He went out the door and he starts walking. And he goes past the first playground, okay, so far, goes down the ravine, goes up the second part of the ravine, and his directions didn't point me in the right way, and so I went past the second playground, and guess what I kept doing? Because what my directions said, and because I was stubborn and hard-headed, I kept walking. And then all of a sudden, there was other kids around me. Are you going to keep going? Are you going to keep going? This is what my directions say. And the next thing you know, there's like four kids following me, which is, again, what you can see why people are, you know, it's be careful who you follow, right? Walked all the way through the woods, all the way past the church, finally turned around before we got to the main road, came back to class probably about a half an hour, 45 minutes late. Mrs. Taylor was not real happy, by the way. Had to talk to Grandma Pin, Mama Pin, at the end of the day, okay? Stubborn. Now, did I have to be taught how to be stubborn? And we're not going to go into all the illustrations I give you on my dad, but my dad taught me how to be stubborn, because that's kind of the person that he is, and that's the kind of person his dad was. It wasn't something I had to learn in a class, right? Now, there's also some good things about being a Pin, too, because for the most part, Pins don't quit, right? Because that same kind of stubborn thing works that way, too. And for the most part, Pins try to figure out what the truth is. I learned that from my dad. The truth is important. And we work hard for the truth, and we don't back down from the truth. Again, did I get that in a class lesson? Not as much as I caught it from my dad, right? Well, in the same way, this kind of living in the Spirit, a lot of it is as much about catching who God is as it is memorizing a verse and writing it down and then know it in your head. And don't get me wrong, those things are good. Please memorize and write and study. We do that a lot too. But a lot of decisions you make are going to be because that you are living with the Lord on a daily basis, you start to take on his characteristics. Does that make sense? And that's what Paul is praying for here. I want you to be filled with God's Spirit. I want you to be so in step, so in tune with God's Spirit that you know when it is that, okay, I'm going to go after this lady or this guy with the gospel today, and we're going to have that conversation because this is the day for that. Or it's that other day, and it's like, you know what, today I'm just going to go up, and I'm going to put my arm around him, I'm going to give him a hug, and I'm going to tell him I love him, and I'm praying for him, because it's that day. And the Spirit of God helps me know, right? You guys, we need to pray for one another that God would fill us with the knowledge of his will through wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. See, it's one thing to say, Lord, be with Esther today, and just be gracious to her, and help her out. That's a good thing. That's not a bad prayer, right? But how much more if I can say, Lord, would you be with Esther today that she would have a full knowledge of your will, that she would be filled with your Spirit, and that her decisions would be led by you. Man, right? That's some power in that prayer, right? And that's what we want to be praying for one another. So Paul says, I'm praying for you guys at Coloss that you will make decisions that are pleasing to God. I hope that you guys will be careful. Sometimes I think when I was a kid, I thought that God's will was this thing that I was just going to do when I was like 32. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go and be a preacher, and that is God's will. And now I'm doing God's will. But God's will is about 1,000 things. And what it is making decisions that he approves of that please him. You guys do God's will or you don't do it every day. Do you realize that? It's not just some big decision looming out there, like who you're going to marry or what job you're going to have or what college you're going to go to or when you're going to get retired. God's will is a daily decision that you are making a choice that pleases him. That's really what it's about. And how do you know if you're pleasing him? The way to know is you got to know him, right? Same thing with your spouse, right? If you know your spouse, you know what makes them happy. If you get to know the Lord, you'll know what makes him happy. That's what we want to do. Again, God's will is more about being the person God wants you to be rather than some specific vocation or even in some location. If you'll be the Spirit-filled person God wants you to be, you will make decisions that are pleasing to him. Big point right there. You got it? That's it. If you will be the Spirit-filled person that God wants you to be, you will make the choices that please the Lord. And this kind of understanding, it only comes when we spend time with the Lord in prayer, when we read his word, and we spend time with people who are exercising their spiritual muscles. Again, Wednesday night, we've had some really good conversations about radical. And we talked to Dustin and talked to Joe on Wednesday night about their jobs and like how much of their job did they learn in the classroom and how much of their job did they learn on the job training. And what we find out in church a lot of times is people get stuck in the classroom. And we need people in the classroom. We have a more biblically illiterate generation than we've ever had. We need people in the classroom memorizing, studying, learning the Word of God. But more than ever, we need people that are Christians to get out of the classroom and do some on-the-job training. And again, I don't want to embarrass Diane too much today, but I was bragging on her this Wednesday about her love for her friend. And we want to have that kind of on-the-job training with different people, don't we? Right? We want people that are going to be going to the homeless shelter and going to be helping people there. We want people that are going to be going to the food bank, people going to the pregnancy care center, people that are at the Exodus refugee place, people that are places where people are hurting, where Christians are jumping out, people that are going downtown to the prison, people that are going to the jails, and they're stepping into places that are kind of dark and kind of scary, but they're bringing the love of Christ with them, and they're dependent upon the Spirit of God to know what to say and how to serve. And that's on-the-job training. Are you with me? So Christians, and that's what we're talking about on Wednesday night, we need to figure out what can we do to encourage each other. We don't have to have some highly organized schedule, but our life needs to be out in the world, living the gospel, not just learning it in a classroom setting. Okay, Lord, help us that we can exercise that. All right, verse 10. Paul says, I pray these things so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Again, this is the ultimate goal, to glorify the Lord and to please him. It is about him. If you look at the bottom of the slide, what's it say underneath Colossians? It's all for his glory. This is it, guys. I love you to death. And I hope that sometimes maybe you think that I think you're the center of my world. But to be honest with you, the Lord is the center, and we revolve around him. Sometimes when we see the gospel, we can get that kind of changed a little bit in our own heart, can't we? When you see how much Jesus loves you, you begin to think, I must be the center of the world. He loves me that much. And in some respects, you feel like that. But really, the bottom line is, it's not about you. It's about him. And when you get that, it'll just, like, the light bulb will come on. I know, you'll just be like, oh, preacher, I finally get it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, by the way, give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. And lead us not and deliver us, right? Yes, there is a place for us to ask on our behalf, but the big picture is it's his glory. Again, Paul says the same thing. I want you to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. And just a quick reminder, mainly more for me probably than most of you, anybody else is a people pleaser in here besides the pastor? I'm trying to, I was getting ready to pull some of you out. Most of you guys are not too bad, actually. Oh, there's one right there, one hand. No. Yeah, you got to be careful being people pleasers, right? Here's another great reminder. If you will please the Lord, you don't have to worry about anybody else. You make the Lord happy and let everything else go. And that's a reminder that I need today. All right, if you do these things, and this is really encouraging, and again, we want to pray this way for one another. If we will be filled with the Spirit, if we will walk in step with the Spirit, if we'll have the knowledge of God's will, if we live a life worthy for the Lord and for his glory, then we will do this. We will bear fruit in every good work. We will grow in the knowledge of God. We will be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, and we'll have great endurance and patience. And again, I want you to see this. Look how specific this prayer is. This is not, God bless all the missionaries. If you pray that prayer, keep praying it. I'm not telling you don't pray that prayer. But do you see how specific Paul is praying for this people that he loves? Right? How do you pray for people? Can you take a little time and pray for things like this to bear fruit in their own life? So he says, I want to pray that God will bear fruit in your every good work. I'm not just praying that you'll know about God, but that you'll know his will, his desire for you, and that as you serve him, you will bear fruit. Now, what does that mean to bear fruit? We use that phrase sometimes in Christianese, right? Or Christian language sometimes. You are part of listening to people who have never been heard before. That's a time when you might be bearing fruit. When you talk, we did that church hurt series, and our first message was about listening, right? When you're that kind of person, and you're hearing someone who rarely ever gets heard, you're bearing fruit. When you are bringing justice to an oppressed person, even this week, who was I talking to? Somebody else I was talking with recently. And they were trying to stand up for someone who was in the hospital, but they weren't getting the care that they needed. When you're in the hospital, you really can't stand up for yourself very well, can you, right? And so if you're that person and you're in that waiting room and you're making sure that the people who are supposed to be doing their job are doing their job, you are helping to bear fruit. You're helping take care of someone that could be neglected. On a broader scale, we see things like abortion. We see things like sex slave trade, right? We see some pretty awful things. If you guys have read some of the stuff over there in I think it's Nigeria, you guys check me on this, but in Africa there were that Boko Haram where they have pulled out. Now some of the people there are just in just deep famine, like just horrible, horrible famine where this rebel military went in and ravaged all these people, and now they've pulled out and there's like nothing left. Like all the farms gone, all the crops are gone. You guys check on this too, but I saw this in the news yesterday that UN was saying there would be around 20 million people facing severe starvation in 2017. And I think 4.5 or 4.7 million were in Yemen. Like just an incredible area of people who won't have enough to eat. When you go and help fight for the oppressed, whatever that is in your world, you are helping to bring fruit to the kingdom, okay? Now, here's the thing. Do you have enough money to provide food for 4.7 billion people? No, right? That's why we have to obey the Lord and do what he has us to do. Some of you, it will be, you need to go help the food bank. Some of you, it will be, you need to go help the guys downtown Indy that are homeless and need some blankets and need a backpack. Some of you, it's going to be that child care center. And you're going to help some young mamas who are making hard decisions, all right? But when you do those things, you are bearing fruit. And we want to pray for one another that God would help us to bear that kind of fruit. Excuse me. I feel like my grandpa Penn when I do that. So again, this idea of bearing fruit. And what we talked about, especially on Wednesday, the best part of bearing fruit is making disciples, okay? It is seeing other people come to Christ. Again, we have a really great beginning of our year this year. We see some people come to Christ, right? You guys, we want to bear fruit like that most of all. So as we share the gospel, we see people reconciled, we see marriages put back together, we see children find hope again. That is part of bearing fruit. So here's the first point this morning of all this idea of thinking about requests. Are you bearing fruit? And then just as importantly today, are you praying for your friends at Cross Life to bear fruit? I've been really challenged as I went through this passage even today. I was thinking about, and I don't know why, I was thinking about Rick. I get to think about Rick a lot. And I pray for Rick a lot. But I want to pray that Rick, not only does he have the strength he needs, but I want to pray that his life is fruitful. Rick's life's already been incredibly fruitful. But I want to continue to pray that it will to bear fruit, right? You guys pray that for your pastor. Pray for that for one another. Again, Paul prays for them to grow in God's knowledge, not that they would just know more about God, but they would know God. Again, it's one thing to know someone, but something quite different to know them personally. Paul prays for strength for this people so they could have endurance and patience. Anybody need that today? Ooh, right? Come on now. I've seen some of you guys. The preacher reads your Facebook, all right? Trust me. Some of you guys need a little bit of patience and endurance. Right? Okay? Look at this. This is such a great truth. Paul says, I am praying for you that you'll be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might so that you might have great endurance and patience. I'm praying that you'll be strengthened according to the power of God. That's crazy. Like, if I'm going to give you strength, especially today is not a good day for me to try to give you strength. I got about this much, right? Okay? But if I'm praying for you to be strengthened according to or as it relates to God's strength, it's inexhaustible. Paul is praying for God to supply endurance and patience for this people. Why would they need that at Coloss? Well, it's a completely idolatrous town. Completely secular. Completely in love with pagan worship. And here's this small group of believers. Do you think they need some patience? Some endurance? Yeah. You guys, in the stuff I've been reading on persecuted church, I see brothers and sisters. They lose their families. They're separated from them. Lose their friends. They lose material things like their homes. They lose their jobs. And sometimes they even get shunned out of their location because of their faith. Do you think you would need some patience and endurance to not just, I can't do this, right? That's what Paul's praying for. And he says, I pray it according to God's glorious might. And I'm gonna be flat out honest with you. There's some people in here today who they have that battle pretty regularly. I think I'm about ready to just give it up. But how encouraging would it be for you to drop a note that says to them, I've been praying for God to strengthen you and to give you endurance and patience according to his power. I'm telling you, I think I could about run a month on that myself, right? Pray for one another. That's what Paul is saying. Make big requests. Pray for one another. And I just encourage you to pray for your church family to be strengthened and to have endurance and to have patience. Simple illustration about endurance and maybe even about being careful as we read people. There was a train filled with tired people, and most of them had spent the day traveling through the hot, dusty plains. And at last, evening had come, and they all tried to settle down to a sound sleep. However, at one end of the car, a man was holding a tiny baby, and as night came on, the baby became restless, and it cried more and more. Unable to take it any longer, a big, brawny man spoke for the rest of the group. Why don't you take that baby to its mother? There was a moment's pause, and then came the reply. I'm sorry. I'm doing my best. The baby's mother has died and is in a casket in the baggage car ahead. Again, there was an awful silence for a moment. Then the big man, who asked the cruel question, was out of his seat, and he moved toward the man and the motherless child. He apologized for his impatience and unkind remark, and he took the tiny baby in his own arms, and he told the tired father to get some sleep, that in loving patience he cared for the little child all through the night. You guys have had those days where you're just exhausted and somebody hits you the wrong way, amen? Sometimes it's your spouse, right? Lord, help us. Why in the world would we be meaner to our spouse than we would be to a stranger? I don't know. But we do that, don't we? Are you praying for one another that the Lord would strengthen us with endurance and patience so that we would live a life that would bear fruit even when we're exhausted and tired and sick? Lord, fill us with your spirit that you would get glory and that we'd receive joy. Big requests. All right, let's move on. Let's look at some big rewards. This will just take a few minutes. Paul says, in verse 12, he says, in giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Paul moves from these kind of requests to this blessing that we have, this idea of us being grateful and thankful. He says, we've been qualified to share an inheritance. And don't raise your hand on this one, but have any of you ever got a letter like that? That your great lost aunt from New Mexico passed away and you just got like $300,000? Wouldn't that be exciting? Right? We had a lady at work like a few months ago. Her mom ended up getting like, I don't know, $50,000 or $60,000 just out of the blue. Just like, didn't know it was coming, an inheritance. That just seems like a good thing, doesn't it? Can I tell you something today? Everybody in here who loves and knows Jesus Christ, you're an heir. What? You've got an inheritance. Peter would say it's kept in heaven for you. It doesn't spoil. It doesn't corrupt. It doesn't fade. It's just waiting on you. Think about that for a little bit. I'm going to tell you, this is, I go through khaki pants, I usually almost make about a year, not quite. I usually wear them longer than I should, right? Okay? I wear them out. You guys, my shoes, other than my dog, my shoes don't wear too well either, usually about a year, and I'll wear them out. I'm pretty hard on stuff, period, especially clothes, right? I have an inheritance in heaven that there's no mothballs in the closet because it doesn't deteriorate at all. It's good stuff. I have a house that doesn't need repair, amen? I'm like the worst at repairing things. In heaven, I have a home that I don't have to worry about repairing. I have a place where there's no more grief, there's no more crying, there's no more sinus headache and belly ache and being tired. There's no more sickness, there's no more death. There's no more night. And Jesus is the light of that place. And I'm an heir. That's about enough to say right there, isn't it? You guys, that's what we have. That's why Paul said last week, out of that hope for what you have, then all of a sudden your faith and your love can grow. I don't need a whole lot here. Do you know what I got up there? It'll be okay. Again, I wish I got to bring that rope here to church. Again, who cares if I only have the bare minimum when I'm on this much of the rope and I got this much longer to live, and for the whole rest of the rope, I have what the Lord has in store for me. I can make it. I can give of myself. I can give up stuff. I can give things to my, I can give my cloak to my enemy. It's okay. I can do that. It's just for a little bit. Do you know what I got coming to me? My Father holds the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is building a city for me. Woo! And I cannot wait to see it. Man, what a day. You guys, let that fill your heart. Dream about what the Lord has got in store for you, and so that maybe you're not tied so tightly to your two-car garage and your three-bathroom home and your two flat-screen TVs. Hello. I'm talking to the preacher as much as to you guys, right? Man, this ain't it, people. There's nothing what the Lord has in store. Let those things, set those things free. Use them for God's glory. Whatever God gives you, use it for his glory. But don't cling to that. You are an heir. Again, 1 Peter 1:4. Into an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade. Kept in heaven, reserved in heaven for you. I so want you today not to minimize or compartmentalize the truth of eternity, the truth of heaven. Heaven is real, and it needs to live in our hearts. To be honest with you, that's why I like Sundays, because every Sunday is another good time for me to re-energize my heart about eternity so I don't lose perspective. We have been rescued. If you look at the NIV today, that's the word that's actually used. We have been delivered. We have been rescued by God. The way it's worded here by Paul is we're no longer under the dominion or the control or the power of darkness. When we walk and live in the Spirit, we have so much freedom. Another reason we have to pray for one another that we will walk in the Spirit. Can you hear me out here today? Some of you guys have people in your life that are under the control of something that's not God. Right? Okay. Our prayer for them, we would love to see them get out underneath the addiction. But the first thing they really need is to let God's Spirit take over their heart and their mind. And that needs to be our prayer. When God does that, then all of a sudden the strength to find the resources and the decisions that they need, those things are going to start to make themselves known. Okay? But they need to be filled with the Spirit in order to make their way out of this control. Here's the truth. Paul says that you're no longer under the dominion of darkness when you are under the control of God's Spirit. Jesus said you can't serve two masters, right? You got to pick one. And if we can help people to pick the Lord to be their master, then they're no longer under the dominion of darkness. You guys, that's such an encouraging thing to you today. If the devil tries to remind you of what control he has on you and what things you used to be and who you used to be around and what you were, you can rest in this truth today that you are not under his dominion. You are not under his control. He says that we have been, if you will, translated as King James into the kingdom of God's Son. Very simply, when you accept Christ as your Savior and you repent of your sins, you are trading kingdoms, you are trading dominions, if you will, you're trading sides, right? You used to be on the New England Patriots, and now you're an Indianapolis Colt. That's about the opposites as we could get here locally, right? You used to be a black knight, now you're a white knight, or vice versa, okay? What happens when you accept Christ is you are being translated, you are being changed, you're being moved, and now you are no longer under the service of the general who was the devil, but you are under the service of your general who is Jesus Christ. And that's what God does when he changes the heart of a person. You're still a slave in the respect that you are serving the Lord, but man, oh, to be a servant of the Lord than to be a servant to anything else, right? And that's this wonderful truth here that Paul says. You're not under the dominion of darkness anymore. You've been translated. You've been moved into the kingdom of, and I love how King James says it, his dear son. What does God think about Jesus? And if Jesus says you're in, then what does God think about you? Right? You guys know how that works, right? Again, you can pick on different people here. I don't know, I'm poor Rick. I'm always picking on Rick, but I like Rick. And Rick comes to me and says, I want you to meet so-and-so. He's a great old guy. And about like this fast, you know what I think about Rick's friend? He's a great old guy. Because if Rick said he likes him, he must be a pretty good guy. How much more even when God says, his son says, Jesus says, hey, Michael is mine. God says, okay, then he's mine. He's been moved. When Jesus covers you and adopts you and says, I choose him. God says, okay, he's in. What a great promise, precious truth here, right? You guys, so much blessing today. If you know Jesus, you repent of your sins, you trust the Savior, you should celebrate, worship the Lord today because of how much he loves you and how he's rescued you out of the darkness and he's given you hope for what is to come. We have, he says, we have redemption. And this is the idea, it's a thing or a person that other people would give up on. God has redeemed it. He has bought it back. Very literally, what they would do is, in some respects, have some similarities today, people would go in huge debt. And they get into such a great debt that to get out of it, the only way to get out of it was they would sell themselves into slavery. So it's not slavery exactly like we would think of our traditional American, African-American slavery. But this slavery usually was a bondage, a servitude because of great debt. So I owe $100,000 and there's no way I can pay it. So what I'll do is I will go be a slave for so long. And then when I've done my servitude, then I can get my freedom back. Of course, people would buy and sell and trade slaves, if you will. You'd get up on the auction block and somebody'd say, hey, that guy looks like he could do some pretty good work. I'll pay this much for him. And so they would buy and sell. Well, occasionally, somebody would buy out what a slave had left that they owed. Get the picture here. Basically, if a master came along and said, I'm going to set this guy free, he owes $10,000, I'm paying his $10,000, he's done, he can go back and have his freedom. Now, what a day for that slave, right? Well, that's the kind of redemption we're talking about here. We were slaves indebted because of sin. We had a sin debt we could not pay. Jesus didn't owe any debt because he'd never sinned. And he paid your debt and my debt. And he said, see the slave on the auction block there? I'm paying his bill. He can go free. Oh, man. You've been redeemed. And a life that was, most people would say, this is not worth much. It's not useful for much. God has made it into something precious and special to bear fruit for his glory and your joy. And finally, the last thing that Paul says there, now have you been redeemed? He says, but you have been given forgiveness of sins. Anybody here ever been forgiven? Anybody ever here been wanted to be forgiven and you didn't get the forgiveness from someone? Whew. That's one of the hardest things, isn't it? Like you want to hear that person say, it's okay, but they don't, right? Yeah, it's hard. Here's the truth today. Because of what Jesus did for you, your sins have been washed away. As far as the east is from the west, the scripture said, I believe it's Micah says, they're on the bottom of the ocean depths. That's where your sins are. They're gone if you've trusted in Christ and repented of your sin. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you repent and believe You're redeemed and forgiven. Again, I encourage you today, it doesn't get much better than this. All right, very simply this morning, let's put it all together. Does anybody here remember the day you were rescued? I bet Winston Churchill didn't forget the day in the pool, and I bet he didn't forget the day in the hospital when Mr. Fleming took care of him, right? We don't usually forget those days. I don't forget the day the mailman took me out of the lake, Lake Decatur, when I put my grandpa's car in the lake. I remember that day. But I also remember the day that this little boy got down on his knees beside his dad, and I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I told him I'd live for him. Because that's the day I was rescued. That's the day I got translated from one kingdom to the other. That's the day my sins were forgiven, and I knew then that I was bought out and I was redeemed. Whew. Don't forget that feeling and that passion and that gratitude that you have. That day, I would have done anything for Jesus. Whatever Jesus would have asked me the day I got saved, I would have done it. It didn't matter what he asked, because I was so grateful. Well, why would it be any different today? Right? The hope I have is even more real, and now that I've lived even all this more time and have even more knowledge, how much more I love him, that he would even love me. Today, live at life out of gratitude. Hopefully, being rescued has changed you. Do you know what God has done for you? He's made you an heir with Christ, his only son. He's delivered you from eternal death. He has brought you into his kingdom, redeeming you through the blood of his son and forgiving every one of your sins. So here's a few questions for you this morning. Are you progressing in your relationship with Christ? Do you know the Lord's will? I'm going to ask it this way. Are you bearing fruit? Again, it could be a lot of different things. It could be helping the oppressed. It could be listening to those who are never heard. And the main thing could just be making disciples. Are you bearing fruit with your life? Are you doing your on-the-job training today? Are you still stuck in the classroom? Please keep coming to church, all right? Please come to Wednesday night. I'm not saying don't do those things. But are you living your faith out on the job training? Do you possess a heart of thankfulness? Do you realize how valuable you are to God and the blessings that you have in him? And finally, would you pray for each other this week? Pray for knowledge, pray for fruit, pray for strength and endurance and patience, and pray for joy and a thankful.